Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. And this is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of the Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, well, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And it's day 18 of our focus on the book of Revelation. And Richard, it's been very interesting so far.
Yeah, it has. I think when you finally get your mind around the fact that Revelation is about Jesus rather than about judgments and beasts and evil and all of that, It really changes your attitude and your approach. Today is a good example. We're in Revelation 17, and it's one of the most negative chapters in the whole book because Babylon is clearly identified. What are the characteristics of Babylon? And when you go through them and you see this stuff, you know, a great harlot who sits on many waters, so peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, the world's rulers committing adultery with her, made drunk on the wine of her immorality, full of blasphemous names, expensively adorned but holding a cup full of abominations, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth, drunk with the blood of the saints. This is bad stuff.
Yeah.
There is no other way to look at it other than pure evil. But what is God trying to explain to us? He's saying, look, this Babylon, which probably represented Rome to John, it was the easiest way to describe it, this, you know, this Seven Hills thing, clearly Rome. But there are other things about it that indicate that this is far beyond just Rome. Rome was a good poster child for Babylon, but this has been going on since the fall. Since Adam and Eve fell, Satan has been building this house of cards, this great facade, this movie set, where you're supposed to just see the front of the buildings but pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And what God says is, not only do I reveal mysteries about salvation, but I reveal mysteries about what's really going on in Satan's world. And so here is God revealing the world system to us in mercy so that we can have a clear choice, because it's not all bad. When you get down to verse 14, in one verse, he completely negates everything that Babylon is by saying, they will make war, that's all of Babylon and her followers, they will make war against the Lamb, who is Jesus, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. The only way to look at this, regardless of the power and the evil and everything else of Babylon, is the Lamb wins.
Yes.
No one else wins. The Lamb wins. And as we're going to see in a couple of chapters, the Lamb wins by speaking. You know, there's no battle here. There's no, you know, clash of the titans going on. Satan has created this false image of everything and dragged most of the world with him, and Jesus is going to come back and speak a word, and it's all going to just blow away like it was never there.
Yeah.
And then for his children, those of us who have responded by faith to the living Jesus, he's going to put us into a new heavens and a new earth, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And so it's God's mercy that brings out the hidden reality of evil, so that we humans can make a choice. Are you going to choose Babylon, or are you going to choose Jesus? Obviously, what I'm suggesting, choose Jesus today if you haven't. Right now, this minute, choose Jesus. You'll never look back.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Plenty of open lines and practically all the time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. It's toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Moses, welcome back to Basic Gospel, calling from New York. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry we got disconnected
last
time. From what I last remember, Moses' law requires that you bring both bodies before the priest.
Yes.
They bring the woman. It was intentionally trying to trap Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, so Jesus stoops down. He writes on the dirt. And my question is, is there anywhere, I'm trying to make the connection to Jeremiah 17, where it says the names will be written in the earth or on the dust, on the dirt, one of those, depending on what the version you look at. Now, is there anything that shows that there is traditionally or according to his law where the two parties would be brought to the priest at the temple, and once they've been found guilty, the priest, traditionally or customarily, the priest would go down and write their names and the laws that they have violated on the temple floor. In other words, somewhere where they could write, he could write their names. Traditionally, they would write the names of the two parties involved when they've been found guilty, anywhere where the names will not be permanent. And this, could this have been, if this is indeed the way it was handled in the temple, could this have been the, what triggered their conscience? The Bible says that the conscience convicted them, and they all left one by one, according to the older, from the oldest to the youngest.
Yeah, I can't answer that question in a way I think will be satisfactory to you. I am not familiar enough with Jewish history and rabbinical teachings on this kind of stuff. Seriously, would I say, you know, find a rabbi who's willing to talk to you about this and see what he has to say. Jeremiah 17 starts off with this kind of thing. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of the altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees, etc. And so what God seems to be getting at in this conversation with Jeremiah is that the sin is so rampant that it's just literally engraved in their hearts. And I would be willing to understand and believe that there was a corresponding rabbinic tradition that would say if judgment came upon a couple or an individual for some sin, that this kind, you know, writing it down, I mean, it makes sense, but I can't confirm that. So if you would look that up for someone else.
Dig a little deeper because yeah. I'm trying to make the connection.
Yeah, it's a fascinating idea.
And I'm looking at Jeremiah, but it says that their names were written on the earth. And the fact that Jesus, because if you look at different translations, it shows that Jesus didn't necessarily get up right away.
Yeah.
Different translations shows in the Greek that they kept insisting for him to answer, to make a decision. And Jesus just stayed down there. And then finally he got up and said, all right, you know, he who is without sin, cast the first stone.
Yeah.
But it shows that there was some time difference, that he didn't answer right away. So I'm trying to make a connection. If what triggered their conscience was that they remembered their way of handling when two people have been brought. Obviously, they understand, and they were convicted with the idea that they didn't bring the other party.
Well, there's nothing quite like trying to trap God himself in human form, and
Amazing. It
is revealed to God himself in human form that this is what's going on, and the entire plan is exposed. Now, the mercy of God is that apparently the plan wasn't exposed to the whole crowd. It was made clear to the perpetrators, but
right.
You know, when you see in this story that, I mean, they, again, I'm reading into it. I like to imagine what was going on from the oldest to the youngest. They kind of, you know, sidestep away and say, well, never mind. There's nothing to see here. And they walk off in shame. It is clear that whatever the woman had done, and remember,
right.
She had sinned.
Right.
He didn't say, you haven't sinned. He just said, I don't condemn you. Whatever was going on, it was shown that they were complicit. And so, again, Jesus, in this perfect love, perfect justice, perfect mercy, perfect grace environment that he lived in and gives to us when we're his children, he was able to do something that didn't let her off the hook for what appeared to be a lifestyle, and yet gave her great hope that there was a way out of this, and he was that way. And so you get a perfect melding of the old covenant requirements and a proclamation of the coming new covenant where there is no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I love that the story is there, even with the understanding that it might not have been in some of the oldest manuscripts. It is just a perfect explanation of the requirements of the old met in Jesus Christ and the blessings of the new met in Jesus Christ. And so it's a great story, and You know, right. If you find out some more of this stuff from the rabbinic traditions or whatever, please call us back and let us know or send us an email or something.
Absolutely. I thank you for the suggestion. I think I will have to do that. I'm looking a little bit deeper. I'm looking at the Mishnahs and see if there's anything written according to their custom how to handle this particular crime. It was just amazing how Moses' law, according to Moses, said that, you know what, if they are to be found guilty, it's amazing that Jesus says, who is without sin cast the first stone? And I believe that according to the law, the witness was the one to cast the first stone if they were to be found guilty.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely amazing. Yeah. Only God.
Yeah,
you know?
it is a perfect story. I mean, the way that it works out.
But I thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry we got this at the first time.
Well, thanks for calling back. Appreciate it.
If I do come across the answer, I'll be more than happy to share it with you.
Okay.
Thanks, Moses.
Thank you so much.
Good to hear from you. Plenty of open lines, friends. 1-800-677-9377 if you'd like to bring the conversation back to the Revelation, if you have something you'd like to discuss in regard to that, or if there's some other question that you have, a Bible question or perhaps some personal issue you're going through right now that you would like to discuss, why we would like to discuss it with you. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Richard, a very interesting question from Tom, who listens online. It concerns King Solomon and Proverbs. He says, I've read through Proverbs many, many times, hoping to gain some wisdom, until I read that Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, ended up worshiping foreign gods. How did he, who was so wise, do this? Now, when I hear someone quoting Proverbs, my first thought is, look what happened to Solomon. Was it because he didn't have the Holy Spirit to free him from the power of sin? Please help me regain my former hunger to glean wisdom from Proverbs.
That is a fascinating question. And although it is true that Solomon went off the deep end, or like I love to say, he was out in the weeds for
out
a long
weeds.
Time,
yeah.
He came back to God. And I think both Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and, you know, the things he wrote were the result of his craziness followed by the return to sanity. Solomon really does represent us, that warts and all reality of someone who is incredibly blessed by God, but who wanders off and gets all confused and makes horrible decisions. Horrible decisions. I mean, these were the Israel kingdom negatively impacting decisions that bore horrible fruit down through history. The fact that he could go that far off and then come back to the one true God and say, wow, here's what I've discovered. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have everything you want, but it turns out it's all vanity. You can work as hard as you want to work, and it turns out that it's just, you know, a chasing after wind. That's a man who has come back and realized that all of his experimentation was worthless, that the God who gave him his wisdom was the only God who could restore him.
Right.
And so he comes back. Of course, in the Old Covenant, it was different than it is in the New Covenant, because for those people, the Holy Spirit came upon them for a special work. For us, the Holy Spirit indwells us.
Right, permanently.
Permanently. And Hebrews makes it very clear that all of these Old Testament saints, the great heroes, warts and all, the heroes of the Old Testament, never received what was promised. It was given to them in sort of a picture form, and by faith they were waiting for the promised Messiah. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus came and succeeded, then they, with us, received what had been promised.
Right.
And so, of course, they had to receive it by credit, by faith, and to reap the benefits of it after they died, where sometimes, most times, we get to reap the benefits of it as we're alive. So
yeah.
So I wouldn't denigrate Solomon. The problem with Solomon is he just looks too much like me, you know? And when you look in the mirror, say hello to Solomon. We make boneheaded decisions. We really do.
Tom, hope that's a help to you. Hope you're listening, as a matter of fact, and hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, We encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net and drop us an email. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel. All right, let's go talk to Lee, listening in South Texas on KCTA. Hi, Lee. Welcome to Basic Gospel. Hello,
hey,
Lee.
Y'all, it's great to talk to y'all.
Well, good to hear from you.
Well, I just called to encourage y'all. I don't really have a question. I just want to tell you, you know, I used to call in every once in a while, and I started looking for a home church, and it's abysmal out there. I'm just going to tell you, at least my experience. And I miss y'all something terrible, and y'all are a wonderful group of pastors who have blessed me just immeasurably.
Well, Lee, thank you so much. You don't need to have a question to call us. Everyone needs encouragement, even us. And we just hope that what we do here is an encouragement to people like you. We don't have all the answers, but we certainly know who does, and that's Jesus. And it is our incredible, incredible privilege to point people to Jesus and to see what happens. And when someone like you calls up and says thank you, it makes everything we go through worth it.
Yes,
and it's not like we have a terribly hard life, and that's not what I'm getting at. But there are challenges to this, and we just appreciate getting encouragement, and thank you for that.
Yes, indeed.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. I just love y'all to death. And everybody listening, please take heed. These are godly men that are giving you truth. Pay attention to what they're telling you, and they will not steer you wrong. And I just want to say God bless y'all and thank you.
Thank you, Lee. We appreciate hearing from you as always. So take care, my brother, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Have a wonderful evening in the Lord Jesus. Going to move on to Calgary, Alberta. Talk to Lynn, listening on CHRB. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thanks for taking my call. Okay, my question is really about, and I'm sorry if you've already gone over this in a previous edition. I'm sort of going through your programs online, and I haven't gone through them all, but it has to do with the wound that the Antichrist is supposed to get that will not heal. Okay, so I was listening to a program. Is it okay if I say the name of it?
Sure.
It's called, like, Irving Baxter's Understanding the End or something like that.
Okay.
And he was saying that that doesn't refer to an actual wound in someone's head that you know, supernaturally heals. It has to do with the Berlin Wall that was erected, and then because they often refer to that as the wound that will not heal between East and West Europe, mm-hmm. and then when it came down, then it was supposedly healed because the Cold War ended.
Yeah.
Is this accurate or is it not accurate? Like, I just... You know, there's so much misinformation. I guess that us as Christians don't understand Revelation well enough to know, I think we need to be equipped to know what's happening in the future. And it's hard to really understand Revelation. I know that the Lord gives us supernatural understanding, but it's still confusing.
Yeah.
For someone like me, and I've been a Christian all my life, okay?
Yes. Yeah, so have I. And
yeah.
I tied myself in knots over Revelation for a great many years. And
okay.
when I finally put away my own pride,
because,
you know, I was convinced that I knew exactly how the end was going to be.
Right.
And I realized I was wrong. What I had to realize is that there are mysteries in Revelation. There are things that are not completely spelled out, that are open to interpretation, and we will never understand this side of them actually happening. And so my advice to anyone who is fascinated with the imagery and the prophecies in Revelation is to do with them what Mary did with Jesus. Because, you know, here's Mary who's told that Jesus is the Messiah, special person. She can see that in him. And yet, how do you explain that to people? So what the Bible tells us is that Mary treasured all these things in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we get to do. We get to look at Revelation and let that stuff percolate in our minds and in our hearts, our souls, while the Spirit is explaining things to us, not all at once, unfortunately, but over time. And every once in a while, the Spirit kind of pricks you and says, pay attention to this. And there's another piece of the puzzle. And then sometime later, the Spirit says, no, you want to pay attention to this one too. And then there's another piece of the puzzle. And what that prevents you from doing is what I was involved in all so much of my life, which was, you know, picking up the newspaper or looking at a newscast or, you know, some blog on the internet and yep. and saying, oh, man, this is it. And as soon as I would do that, I would take my eyes off of Jesus and Revelation would become even more of a mystery and my disappointment went up correspondingly. But when I take my eyes off of current events, put them on Jesus, and then let the current events be informed by the Spirit, then I can read Revelation with hope and assurance because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not the revelation of the Antichrist. Although Antichrist is talked about, but that's because Jesus is exposing the Antichrist for who he is. And you know, there are things that have happened throughout history that yep. may or may not apply to certain things. And the way I've begun to take this, and you don't have to take my word for it, is to just say, okay, all of that stuff applies. In every age of history, there have been things that have kept people with their eyes focused on Jesus, kept them informed so that they didn't lose heart. I mean, imagine living in the Dark Ages. And yeah. and you're living in the filth that people called homes in those days.
Yeah.
And how do you have hope? You can only have hope if you have some glimpse of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether it's the Catholic Church or some king or some other organization that is pounding on you. Jesus is the only answer. And it's going to be that way all the way to the end. Only those of us who have our eyes fixed on Jesus will have the hope of salvation that keeps us from being overwhelmed by the evil in this world.
Okay.
So that's kind of a long answer. The short answer is don't worry about anybody's predictions of this, that, or the other thing. We're probably all
okay.
wrong.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Just keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
And then that should prevent us also from being deceived as well, right?
Yes.
Which
yeah, if you're walking by faith, the Holy Spirit is going to keep teaching you truth, no doubt.
Yeah, that makes sense. That really makes sense.
That's his job, is to yeah. renew our minds, point us to Jesus, and make the things of Jesus known to us. So that it doesn't get any better than that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for
thank you for your call.
That.
If you'd hold the line a minute, we'll send you a copy of this booklet we've been giving out all month called Our Guaranteed Future, and just love to give you a copy of that. Thanks for your call.
Oh, I'd love to have that.
Yeah.
I'd really love to have that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We had someone who called earlier and had to drop, and she was wondering where it's referenced in the Bible that Mary had other children. And that is in Matthew 13, in verses 55 and 56. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, etc.? So Matthew 13, go look it up.
Thanks, Richard. And thanks, everybody, for joining us for Basic Gospel. If you liked what you heard, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, we're going to be happy to send you a copy of our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But if you can offer a donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the booklet and the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Pfeiffer. It's your gifts that keep Basic Gospel on the air, friends, and at the same time could bring you new understanding of the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make your donation, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're there, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list for news and information about the ministry and to avail yourself of resources available to you. So, for Richard Pfeiffer, Bob Christopher, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.